morning, everyone, and welcome to this place and to this time of worship together, and a special welcome to any of you who are newcomers or visitors among us. We gather for coffee and a chance to visit after the service, and I hope you'll all feel welcome to be part of that. Northwood is here with the express purpose to embrace our community with the love of Christ, and I hope that every one of you feels that embrace this morning as we worship together. And part of that embrace is to open our hearts and our minds and our voices singing together. Let's begin singing, "Who is my mother? Who is my father? All those who gather around Jesus Christ." A thought. Thanks be to Shirley Arena Murray for coming up with a rhyme for enigma in a song. Isn't that incredible? Yes, we all gather around Jesus Christ and around the unending love that is there in Jesus Christ. And so we try to build a community around Jesus Christ. Let us build a house where all are welcome.
Sing, sing.
seated. All are welcome, because it is God who welcomes us. God who has named us and knows us more deeply than we even know ourselves. And in knowing us, says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you restoration for your soul." Yes, you are welcome. And so here we open our hearts and our minds and welcome the Spirit in. So in the next moment or so, I invite you to a time of quiet to do exactly that, to center yourself, become fully present in this place. And at a certain point, you might see some of the key symbols of our faith appear in your peripheral vision. And at that point, I invite you to greet those by standing as you are able, and we'll sing together. Welcome into this place. Broken vessel of a community in which there is light, the light of Christ, in which we experience the unconditional love and blessing of God in water and in human form, in which we open ourselves to the life-changing word in our midst, in which we are drawn together into one fabric in prayer. Welcome to the particular part of the body of Christ that is Northwood United Church, a reflection of the knowing, compassionate, grace-filled love of our Maker. Let us worship our God. Please be seated. You know, the human community is a remarkable thing. It is an amazing thing to think about the mysterious tapestry that makes human community. And you would think about what we bring when we come today. I mean, there's the part of ourselves that everybody knows about, right? I'm coming here, and most people know that I'm a minister. Most people know that I have a family. Most, you know, that's I come and I bring that. And then there's the part of me that I bring that's also just only known to me and God. That none of you know. It's the things that are going on in my heart, the things that are going on in my mind that are the sighs that are too deep for words. We each bring that stuff. You've got some of that in you that is between you and God. Then, of course, there's the stuff we bring that we don't even know about. I think about this stuff as the kind of spinach between your teeth stuff. Everybody else knows it, but we don't know it. You know, that stuff that we bring. Hopefully this is a grace-filled community where we can let each other in on that stuff. And then there's the stuff that we bring that nobody else knows, that we don't even know. That mysterious part of ourselves that is deep within us, that is cradled in the hand of God, that as we deepen in that relationship, we slowly but surely discover. That's the stuff where we are utterly in the hands of God's grace. We are on this journey and we see dimly, as Paul said, in a mirror. All that is what we bring into this community. And each person here brings all of that. Isn't that incredible? And then put two people together, and then you've got an incredible amount of human life in this place. Or three, or five, or 25. Just the tapestry of human life in one place is utterly amazing. And then when you think of our families that we bring with us, that are kind of behind us, and our communities, our connections in the community, all of that we bring here. You can even go beyond to our nations and the ways in which our nations interact. And we bring that into this place. Isn't it just the human community and the diversity of it incredible? The magnitude of it? As we come before God in prayer, that's what we bring. And even more amazingly, God can take it. God is able to receive all of that, know all of it, love it, because God made it. So I invite you to take all that you bring in a time of prayer today and bring it before God. There will be some people that are listed on the screen who have been named in prayer. There will be a time to name others in prayer as well. So let us come before God in prayer. Holy One, in whom we live and move and have our being, how wondrous are your works. The intricacy and beauty of the creation, the amazing complexity and diversity that you have woven together into life. How are we to come before you except in awe and wonder? We thank you for all that has brought us to this time and this place. And we bring before you all that our life consists of. We bring you our families, our friendships. We bring you this community here at Northwood and our life and ministry here. We bring you people and situations that are especially on our minds because there is sickness or grief or loneliness or distress. And we name them before you now in the quietness of our hearts. Hear our prayer for this world that you love so dearly. Today we bring before you the people of Syria, continuing to struggle under the cycles of violence. And we name before you all those who are the other places in the world in which there is hunger or homelessness, where people are displaced. Where there is injustice. Oh God, we want you to guide us and shape us that we might serve your justice and peace in this world. So we place ourselves in your hands as we seek to walk in the way of Jesus, who taught us the words that we now sing together. Reading this week, we will be reading or singing, in this case, the 23rd Psalm. And there's a part of the 23rd Psalm that I just go back to over and over and over again. It's right near the end. Surely, that's the word that gets me. Surely, it's the word of faith. Because we don't know anything for sure, but it's reassuringly, surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Surely, because God is grace and goodness. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Friends, Jesus lived for this and died and lives again for this. Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. invite anyone that would like to come and join me up here for our theme conversation today. To come and gather. The table's been moved up, so we're going to squish in together and make sure you can see where I'm sitting so that we can, yeah. Nope. Thank you. Make sure you can see where I'm sitting because I have some pictures to share with you today. There we go. We've got some space if you want to come sit over here. There's some room. So, do we all have a voice today? Did anyone? Yes, you do. Did anyone lose their voice today? No. Can I hear? Do you have voice? Give me a C. Yay, la. Can you do that? La, yay. Excellent. Okay. Well, we're talking about voices, and we're thinking about voices today. So, I wonder how you might know if your mom wants your attention. If you're outside on the playground and you need to come in for dinner, would it be like, Dalton, would you please come in for dinner now? Or would it be like, Dalton, dinner? You think? Which one do you think? The louder, or maybe both? Yeah, yeah. So loud. Yeah, yeah. So I wonder if someone was calling you on the phone, and how many of you have more than one grandma or grandpa? I have two grandmas. Yeah. So if one of them called on the phone and just said, hello, dear, how do you know which grandma is which? Do you have a nickname or... you know most of the time? Two different voices and you can recognize them. Yeah, yeah. I have a picture here of a mom and a child. You can see that. And I have a picture here of a grandma. How do you think this grandma might be feeling? Old, mad, happy. Old, mad, and happy. Okay. Excellent. And what about this one? This picture is of SpongeBob. SpongeBob SquarePants. He's so happy. So SpongeBob is really happy. And grandma's not. And what about mom and happy mom and sad dad? What? Sad kid, do you think? Big happy face. Oh, upside down is unhappy. I see. Oh, okay. All right. So we can recognize our mom or our dad or our grandma if they kind of yell or talk loudly and want us to come in because we live with them or maybe they come over often. We recognize grandma or grandpa if they call because they have a certain voice, yeah? So what about SpongeBob? If he's happy, yes. Right, but if you were in a different room in your house and SpongeBob was on TV, would you be able to tell me that it was SpongeBob on TV? Yeah. Maybe, or maybe it was something else. You have SpongeBob's on TV at your house? Yeah, and your house? Yeah, yeah. So the question I'm wondering about today is how do we know when God is talking to us? What's God's voice? What does God's voice sound like in our lives, at our homes, when we're talking with our grandma? And I don't have an answer for you. It's something for us to think about when does God speak to us? And what does God's voice sound like? Yeah. So think about that some more, and I'm going to ask everyone to think about that today. About voices in our lives, the important ones, the fun ones that make us smile, and even the older ones. Mm-hmm. So what does God's voice sound like to you? And we're going to sing and then head to our children's church time.
Shepherd. It has been put to music frequently and most recognizedly in the Scottish version called Crimond. Let us sing Psalm 23, which is on page 747.
Lord, smile.
Psalm 23 sings of God shepherding us. In John's Gospel, we hear the task assigned to Jesus, "I am the good shepherd." In this case, the metaphor is explored for the wisdom it offers in the relationship between shepherd and sheep. John 10, 11 to 18. "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives up his life for his sheep. Hired workers are not like the shepherd. They don't own the sheep. And when they see a wolf coming, they run off and leave the sheep. Then the wolf attacks and scatters the flock. Hired workers run away because they don't care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and they know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I give up my life for my sheep. I have other sheep that are not in this sheep pen. I must bring them together too when they hear my voice. Then there will be one flock of sheep and one shepherd. The Father loves me because I give up my life so that I may receive it back again. No one takes my life from me. I give it up willingly. I have the power to give it up and the power to receive it back again, just as my Father commanded me to do." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and the actions of our lives be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I want to begin with a little bit of an experiment. A voice recognition experiment. Okay, anybody recognize this voice?
That one day this nation will rise up.
Anybody?
And live out the true meaning of its creed.
That didn't take long.
We hold these truths
How about
to be
this one?
Self-evident that all men are created equal.
When a week ago today, Mr. Speaker, I asked the House to fix this afternoon as the occasion for a statement,
anybody?
It would be my hard lot.
Well done. Well done. One more.
The greatest military disaster in our long.
I stand here before you not as a prophet, but as a humble servant of you, the people.
That one had a longer fuse on it there.
Your tireless and heroic sacrifices have made it possible for me to be here today.
Nelson Mandela. It's harder because there's lots of cheering about it.
Of my release.
What was that? Oh, you want to hear more? Yeah, I know. Listen, when I put on Martin Luther King Jr. yesterday to try and get that clip, I thought, well, why don't I just leave it and just... You're listening to a way better preacher than you're getting this morning, that's what I'm telling you. Yeah. We recognize these voices because we've heard them over and over again. And also because their voices have coincided with momentous times, right? And so that linkage between the voice and the life cements them in our memory. I remember when I was in university, I was a weirdo. I used to go to, this is my undergrad, I was 20 years old, went to the library, the audio library, and I used to pull out records of famous speeches. Because I was studying about these people, right? And it's one thing to have it on the page, to read it on the page, but to hear it in, like, with your own ears, just brings it to life so much. And so I would go and I would listen to Martin Luther King Jr., and I would listen to Mahatma Gandhi, and I would listen to Tommy Douglas, some of his speeches, and others. And hearing the voices just made all the difference in my knowing what they're about. It just deepened the knowing. I'm sure that you have people in your life whose voices you can recognize over the phone. I call the church and I say, "Hi, Shelley, it's me." Well, yeah, that could be anybody, except that my particular voice has been heard so frequently by her that it's recognizable. I love the hesitation in my mom's voice when I say the same thing. "Hi, Mom, it's me." Because I have three brothers and our voices sound so similar. You're still allowed to kind of mess around with your mom's brain even if you're almost 50, aren't you? Shelley talked, we were talking this week about this, and Shelley in the office, whose voice you hear when you call here, she's talked about working hard to learn to recognize people's voices, because it feels so good when you call the church and you say, "Hi, Shelley," and she says hi and gives your name right back. I mean, you know what that feels like, eh? There's something about voice recognition that means that you've moved one step deeper into the relationship, that you're known, even loved, that you matter. Name recognition is one thing, but voice recognition is a whole other level of being known. I mean, think about the word recognition. To recognize. Cognition is all about knowing, right? Using your cognitive functions to know something or someone. To recognize is to know someone again, which is more than simply remembering, but reconnecting with a previous knowing of the person. Jesus said to his disciples, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." Not everyone will do that. I'm the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. I will bring others along, and they will recognize my voice. And later on in that chapter, he says, "My sheep recognize my voice. I know them, and they know me, and they will follow me because of this voice recognition thing." Being known well enough for voice recognition is to be known well. This is the nature and the quality of the relationship that Jesus has with his disciples. So when we read the Gospels, I am continually taken aback by the depth of knowing in this cluster of friends. Between Jesus and his followers, there's a depth of knowing and a depth of trusting that goes with it. Implicit. It's like very quickly upon meeting him, people know what he is at his core. The relationship that he calls shepherd and sheep. When I was in Salmon Arm, there was this woman whose name was Helen, and she's one of those people who's always there, very committed, very kind of deeply and tenderly committed to the life and ministry of the church. Helen, you could always count on Helen to be there, And she was, in some ways, a kind of a bellwether person in the community. If you wanted to know how something's going, check with Helen, because she kind of, it's not that she represents a whole pile of people, but as with Helen, so with a whole lot of others. Well, Helen would, dear woman, bring me a card seasonally, and inevitably, or invariably, she would say something like, thank you for being our shepherd. Which was a lovely, lovely thing to say. And I've got to tell you that shepherd is not an image for my ministry that I wear easily. A shepherd is kind of in charge and capable of making sure nothing bad happens. And certainly in relation to Jesus, I feel like that's we're good, shepherd sheep. But in terms of Jesus, me, and the church, I think I'm more comfortable with sheepdog than shepherd. Do you know? You know, I'm listening for the voice, and I'm following directions, and I'm trying to keep the sheep together and safe and happy and all that kind of stuff. But and you got to be careful not to push the analogy too far, because at a certain point, the sheepdog starts nipping at the sheep's heels, right? So don't push it that far. But that's more like how it feels. However, there is something deep in recognizing the authentic voice of Jesus in the community. And in this post-Easter time, when we share some of those stories about what happened after the crucifixion and resurrection, in which Jesus appeared and then wasn't there, and they needed to learn to recognize a voice of one who wasn't standing in their midst. And that was a trick. That's a skill that we all need. It's one thing to get a good focus on Jesus when he's standing right in front of you. It's another thing to recognize that voice in some other way. What is the quality of voice recognition in our community today? That's the voice recognition of Jesus, but also the voice recognition of one another. Who do you know well enough to be able to recognize their voice? You see, I believe that one basic human need is to know someone and be known by them. I remember I went off to seminary in Saskatoon, partly because I didn't know anybody there. And I figured that through ministry, you go into communities and you don't know anybody, and you gotta learn how to do this. So I figured might as well start at seminary. Went to Saskatoon as a young adult and left behind a much beloved, in my heart, community at St. Aidan's United Church in Victoria, in which I was known, and I knew most of that community at a fairly significant level. We had been through a fair bit of life together. And here I was in Saskatoon, and there was nobody that knew me, and I didn't know a soul. And I couldn't go into church and get that sense of familiarity. The sense of being known and accepted and understood. Homesick. I discovered homesick is a part of, is at least in part, missing people. But it is also, for me, in large measure, feeling the vulnerability of not being known by anyone. When I talk to people who have lost a spouse recently, they talk about missing the person. And invariably, there is this is mixed with also a vulnerability of no longer having someone there who knows you really, really well. That's a significant part of the grief. Not being known. We need to be known. It's basic to our humanity. When we are known, we belong. Until we are known, we are, in some ways, outside. There are times in our lives when we lose track even of ourselves, and we need someone who knows us to come alongside and remind us who we are. That's how significant it can be to be known. We walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We walk through a rough patch in a marriage. We walk through a conflict at work. And there are times when we need perspective on ourselves, not just on the situation. These are times when we need the voice from outside of ourselves that we know and recognize and trust, that knows us, recognizes us, trusts the soul within us to say, "Will I know you? I know what you're made of. You will make it through this because I know you." And in those situations, often nothing else will help. Because, you know, if you take account of the situation, it can be dicey. But someone coming along saying, "I know you, and I know you will be fine," makes a huge difference. And at other times, when we are not being ourselves, we need someone who knows us, with whom there is deep trust, who come alongside and say, "This is not you. I don't know where you went, but this is not you. Because I know you. And this is not you. Why are you being like this?" My image of Christian community is, it actually comes from Martin Luther King Jr. He used the phrase beloved community. And that's my image of Christian community. It's a community in which we know and are known. The church for me is the body of Christ, where the voice of Jesus is still heard and recognized, and often through the voices of those around us, because they know us and we know them. The place of trust where we not only come on Sunday morning for spiritual nurture, but a community where we invest ourselves to the degree that we are known. That makes trust such an important quality within the fabric of the community. That takes risk and vulnerability. It is that knowing and being known, that quality of spirit within relationship, that actually makes us the body of Christ. That is the active agent of the Spirit of Jesus Christ among us. Knowing and being known. Now, of course, that also means that that active agent has grace at the very center. Because frankly, if you only knew, I'd be standing in the need of grace. Every one of us would be standing in the need of grace. Two, open ourselves to be known requires that the grace of God be among us. But that is why we're here, to meet that very basic human need within the context of the grace of God as we have experienced it in Jesus Christ. If you look around in the community, there are very few places, very few situations very few communities for whom that is the center, to be known and to know and to experience the grace that is there. But that's our mission. That's what we've been called to be about as a community. That's what it means to embrace with the love of Christ. May we experience that here. Amen. Thank you. us continue in our worship as we bring before God our offerings. And while that is happening, I would invite you to take a look at Northwood in Service in Action and all of the announcements that are printed in your bulletin. And there are many, so I'm not going to go through all of them with you. But Carrie, do you want to start with the... Oh, actually, before Carrie starts, I want to just say something about the fashion show and that happened yesterday. And a huge, big thank you to all of you who worked so diligently and so for over such a long period of time to make that great event happen. And who am I looking? Oh, there we are. Hi, Vera. Do you want to come and do you want to say a word?
A lot of you were here yesterday, and we had such a wonderful time. And we would like to present this to our MC, who did such an excellent job yesterday. Carrie?
Thanks, Vera, and for everyone. I always have fun, most of the time, have fun with my job, and yesterday was extra fun, so thank you. It was a great day. And speaking of the fashion show, today after worship, during coffee time, there will be a sale in the fireside room of clothing and children's shoes and clothing and adults' beautiful dresses and scarves and bags and shoes and whatever you're looking for. So grab a coffee and make your rounds into the fireside room for some good deals. And while I'm up here, I'll just keep taking the mic here. Next weekend is the women's retreat, a weekend for any person, any woman that would like to come. It's a great time of rest and renewal and community and singing and prayer and worship. And speak to Penny today. Could you just wave? Because today is the deadline to sign up for that. And finally, just to hold in prayer, this weekend, the UCW United Church Women's 50th anniversary celebration is going on in Princeton, BC, and there are folks from this community there, so we just hold them in our prayer.
Today at 4 o'clock, Jazz Vespers is taking place, so let anybody that you know that likes jazz and wants the time to just refresh on a Sunday afternoon. It's at 4 o'clock today. And Miles Black and Karen Graves will be here. Karen was here about 2 months ago. Fantastic sax and sax player and vocalist. So anyhow, that's at 4 o'clock. After church, there's going to be a gathering, folks, sponsored by the board, in one of the classrooms, and I'm not sure which, because I thought we were doing the fireside room, but we'll do one of the classrooms to talk about the words of our faith. General Council, which is the national gathering of our church, meets this summer, and a proposal has been made to change the Constitution of the United Church of Canada by adding some key pieces of writing, statements of faith that we have created over the 87 years of our history. That proposal is going to General Council. Part of the consultation leading up to that involves conversations that happen in every congregation and in every presbytery, exploring the words of our faith, and we, the board, actually gets to vote whether or not they think these three other statements of faith ought to be within the basis of union, the Constitution. So this is a time to just simply see these pieces of writing. Some will be familiar, some less so, and to explore what it would mean to have them as the foundational documents within the Constitution of our church. So it should be an interesting discussion. It's going to be an hour long, so grab your coffee and join with the board in classroom one or two. I'm not sure which. Room two. Okay. As well, at the end of May, we celebrate Pentecost on the 20th of May. That's a good opportunity for us. It's the birthday of the church. It's the opportunity for us to, if you are a new into the life of Northwood and are interested in transferring your membership here or becoming a member of the United Church of Canada at Northwood, that will be an opportunity to do that. So if you fall into that category, come talk to me, and we will make sure that that is possible. This week, Wednesday, 11:30, seniors' lunch is happening at the Swiss Chalet. If you're a senior or senior wannabe and you'd like to be a part of that lunch, talk to Jacqueline. Jacqueline, can you wave so people can see you? Marvelous. Talk to Jacqueline. She's doing the reservations, and you do need to talk to her because that way they'll have enough seats for us. So, and finally, next Sunday, there will be a guest here among us, the Reverend Sally McShane. Sally has been relatively newly called to Fraser Presbytery to do a piece of work around mission. That is, having each of the congregations get a clear sense of our mission within our communities. And having Sally here is all about renewing our mission. She has particular areas of expertise. She's from New Brunswick, and she's this wonderful woman, and so she'll be here next week to lead in worship. Yeah. I have been asked to, as a part of an interfaith series, to speak at the South Fraser Unitarian Church under the title "Confessions of a Cradle Christian." I have to summarize the Christian faith in about 15 minutes as I have experienced it. So that's going to be a interesting experience. But so Sally will be here, and I will be there. And Carrie will be at the women's retreat, leading the women's retreat. So, all right. Well, let us continue in our worship as we bring before God our offerings. What can I do?
What can I bring?
God, you have given us so much. This life is so abundant with blessing. And so we bring these gifts to this place because we want to serve you, serve the mission you've given us. Receive them and let them work by your Spirit, a work of love and embrace in this community and around the world. Receive us as well as we offer ourselves each day. In Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn is, "I Have Called You By Your Name."
Yeah, it's in More Voices.
This is More Voices.
More Voices.
Written in my people, help them grow. For those
Exactly that, knowing that we are named and known beloved. We can go with great strength and hope and courage, counting our blessings, practicing our faith, never looking down on the struggle for life. Know that no matter where you go, the Spirit of God is already there, preparing. So may the peace of Christ attend us. The love of God surround us, and the Holy Spirit keep us, now and always.